Welcome, everyone, to day 7 of our Jesus Revealed Season 3. I'm your host, Zintle, and today we are looking at the book of Judges with a particular reference in book of Judges chapter 21, verse 25, but also going back to Judges 2 and the establishment of those judges post the death of Joshua. And I'm joined by my brother, Pastor Wasim. Pastor Was, welcome.
How's it, Pastor Z? It just feels very appropriate saying that.
I don't appreciate that, brother, but we'll keep it moving. We'll keep it moving. But thank you so much, man. We are 3 seasons in, and it's always good to see you. It's very amazing that this has been going for the past 3 years.
It is, right?
Yeah. And actually, no, when we first did it, you weren't a pastor. No, you actually were a pastor when you did it for the first time.
Yes.
That was 2023. Yes. Cool, man. So let's look at the book of Judges. And our title is Jesus Christ is our judge and lawgiver. Yes. Let's look at this book. What is the book of Judges? Like, what is a setting that we go into when we go into the book of Judges, and just what was happening with the judges in here, or what was their function in this book?
Sure. Very good question. So our scripture verse, or let me rather just read the last scripture verse, which I think really stands out in the book of Judges. Essentially, it's saying that in those days, there was no king in Israel.
Yeah.
Everyone did what was right in his own eyes.
Yeah.
And what's fascinating about the scripture verse is that back then, there was no king type of structure. I mean, true to the name of the book, it speaks of the judges that were over Israel.
Yeah.
So that ending verse already says to me, essentially, that God is not king over the people of Israel, like he was supposed to be. And there's this sense of chaos. And we see that people feel as if sin is normal and that they can justify it. The fact that they say that there is no king, it doesn't just speak to the physical king. Yes, there's no physical king, but Jesus, or should I say God at that time, is not king over the people's lives.
Sure.
So the book of Judges essentially takes place during that period when Joshua has just died.
Yeah.
And the generation, that specific generation then enters the promised land. So it's a time when the Israelites are settled in Canaan, and they have not fully driven out the indigenous people of the land.
Yeah.
So thinking of it this way, you had two incredible leaders in Moses and Joshua.
Yeah.
And God performed crazy miracles through them. Crazy
That's
right. signs.
Yeah. Very true.
Parting
Very
of
true.
Waters.
Yeah.
I mean, Moses at one stage, he came down from the mountain, and the glory of God was so heavy on him.
Yeah.
That the people couldn't even look at him in his face. He had to cover his face.
Yeah.
And here you find Joshua, this promise now that is essentially 600 to 650 years old.
Sure.
That God gave to Abraham, that he will, you know, give them these descendants and this land that they will possess.
Yeah.
And they are at that point in time where they're literally going and physically possessing this land.
Sure.
They're physically taking hold of this promise. And the one thing that God says to them to do, they actually don't do it. He says, go there and essentially take out all the people of that land. But what do they end up doing? They end up mingling with them. They become very familiar with them. And this is now the era that is marked by this constant cycle of disobedience and oppression. And then God ultimately sends a judge. And then the judge brings them to a place of repentance and deliverance.
Okay.
And essentially that cycle continues for a period of years. That's essentially the context of the book of Judges. And the reason why God called the judges to go, I think very simple. The people were in a state of disobedience. They didn't listen to God. Again, they had this promise that their ancestors were living by. This was the promise. Yeah. You know, the thing. And they were there at that specific moment in time, and they couldn't take hold of it because of the familiarity with the people of the land. So essentially, God calls these judges now. He calls them for three specific things. Mm-hmm. The first one is a military type leadership.
Okay.
The second one is a judicial type role. And then the final one is some sort of spiritual leadership.
Okay.
So the military leadership, when we see Deborah, specifically in Judges 4 and 5, how she comes in and she's able to lead the children of Israel into victory over the Canaanites.
Yeah.
With a judicial role, we see it with Gideon. Yes, he led them in battle, but he also settled disputes amongst the Israelites. Yes, yes. And then finally, one of my favorite ones and judges, Samuel, and how he guided the children of Israel through that period and ultimately being the final judge, as we know. So the story of Judges and the judges themselves provides for me, when I read it, a story of God's faithfulness and his mercy.
Yeah.
And if we tie it into this day and age, we still see God's grace and his mercy for his people.
Yeah.
And what I think is so beautiful, if I had to tie it to the New Testament, Paul, in a lot of his writings, in his epistles, when he starts off, he pronounces this blessing where he says grace and peace, or grace and mercy to you. And if we go back to Judges, yes, they might not have liked it when the judges came in and corrected them and brought spiritual alignment, but essentially it was for their good.
That's true.
So it's for me, it points to Jesus and the grace that we are currently still living in this day and age.
Man, that was a wonderful introduction, bro. And my second question is very tied, very much tied into what you said now about Jesus. But I want us to then just consider that concept of Jesus being this judge and lawgiver. How is Jesus revealed as that in scripture?
Sure. Good question again. So I think the thought that comes to my mind is that he is the ultimate judge.
Yeah.
So one day he will judge the living as well as the dead. At the same time, he's also a lawgiver who fulfills and he transcends the old law, and he brings in this new covenant, which is centered around love and grace as well as truth. And all of Jesus's teachings, it calls us to this highest standard of grace.
That's true.
All of his teachings, it points us towards him. So ultimately, that's how we see him being the judge as well as the lawgiver. But I think just some practical examples of how we see him as a judge and how we see him as a lawgiver. So he's the final judgment. I think I did mention this now.
Yes.
He will judge all of humanity at the end of time.
Yeah.
There's a very famous scripture verse, but it says, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord at some stage. Simple things like him judging hypocrisy, right? When the Pharisees come and they try, you know, causing some form of chaos for him.
Yeah.
I think a very common one is with the woman caught in adultery.
Yes. I was actually thinking about that as well.
Were you thinking of that as well?
I was thinking about it as well. Yeah.
So they bring her to him. And essentially, he says, you know, cast the stone if you have not sinned.
Yeah.
So there he's judging hypocrisy. We see him how he discerns motives. It's a form of judgment, right?
That's
where
true. That's
people
true.
Might be thinking certain things about him or negative things, and he calls it out, even though they didn't physically speak it. And then I think the final one, and it's a very beautiful one, is how he intercedes for sinners, which forms part of that judgeship that we are speaking about.
Yes.
So he's seated at the right hand of the Father. But again, this shows the mercy that he has and the forgiveness of sins that he extends towards us. And then I think just some examples of him being a lawgiver. I'm not going to touch too much on this, but I mean, throughout the sermons that he preaches,
the
instructions that he brings, again, how he teaches on forgiveness, you know, and unlimited forgiveness. And then I think probably the one that stands out the most is the new covenant.
Sure.
So I think those are just a few ways that we see Jesus being the judge as well as a lawgiver.
That's wonderful, bro. And I think a point that I really liked, especially when you touched on, I guess actually both judge and lawgiver, is that, yes, he's got the authority to judge, but he's also got the wisdom to judge and the manner in which to judge. Because you looked at how he judges the Pharisees, but you also look at how he judges that woman that was caught in adultery, and even how he engages with the Samaritan woman, understanding very well that Jews and Samaritans were never to meet socially.
Sure.
So much so that if you were to pass through Samaria as a Jew, you'd go around instead of going through. But when he meets her, there is no, the way that he deals with her is not as a harsh judge, even though he would be well within his rights to do that.
Sure.
He was just enough to do that, but he didn't. And I found that that wisdom of both having the authority, but the wisdom of being a judge, I find it and find it very, very special in how he did it. But even as a lawgiver, in he's not necessarily disputing the laws, but when you look at that Sermon on the Mount, when you look at that new commandment of loving one another, he almost, to his point, he's fulfilling the law. He is really bringing us back to the heart of what it means to comply with the law, which is you can only do it if you love the Lord.
Sure.
100%. So I really, really love those images that you gave, bro.
Can I just say,
because
I think this point that you made on wisdom, I absolutely love that, because while I was preparing, one of the things that I thought, if you want anyone to be a judge over your life, the one person or the one being that you're going to want is Jesus Christ.
Absolutely.
Because ultimately the judgment that he gives is not the judgment that we deserve.
Yeah.
You know, it's the judgment that he puts on us, which is that of love, loving kindness, him wanting us to be fulfilled in his word and the purposes and the plans that he has for us. And essentially what we deserve, he took away.
Absolutely.
By what he did on the cross for us.
Amen.
So
Amen.
I love what you said around the wisdom and how he judges. And I think the care that he brings towards the table.
No, wonderful. Wonderful, bro. And maybe if we can just wrap it up, because I think we have touched on it. We have looked at how Jesus functions as this judge, this just judge, if I can describe him as that, and the just lawgiver as well. But then bringing it and tying it into maybe right now in this age, and whether maybe let's consider whether he still functions as that. Does he still function as a judge and a lawgiver even right now? And if he does, how does he function in this way, bro?
Very good question again. I think the beauty of this is even though he came to this earth, he gave up his life, he died, he rose again. Now he's seated on the right hand of the Father. He could have been there just chilling.
This is true.
He did what he needed to do.
Yeah.
But the Bible says to us that he's seated at the right hand of the Father and he makes intercession for us. So I think one of the greatest ways that he's currently acting as a judge for us is by interceding for us.
Yeah.
Is by interceding, I think, not just for us, but for all of mankind.
Yeah.
So I think that's the beauty of it. He intercedes. And in him interceding, and I guess, you know, before his second coming, this dispensation of grace and this dispensation of forgiveness that we still have, where we can still make an active decision, if we haven't, to serve him, to pursue him, I think that's a form of him acting as a judge still, which I think is very beautiful. And then as a lawgiver, I guess it's how the Holy Spirit guides us. And not just how the Holy Spirit guides us, but when we read his word, when we pray, and when we, I guess, do things that are pleasing to God, right? That is a form of I guess, his law giving and us fulfilling that law that he has for us. But a lot of the teachings that he gave is still very, very relevant. It still guides us. It still leads us. And I think, like you said, I will just say this and end it with this, that the wisdom that he has to judge is perfect.
And I think what is an amen to that, bro. And what I really like is that he didn't leave us alone in his judgment and in his law giving. He gave us a Holy Spirit who will teach us and will be our counselor. But number two as well, he gave us his word. And, you know, when I think about it, I think about, I'm so grateful for the scriptures, but I'm also grateful that I live in a time where the canon is closed.
Oh, yes.
Where we've got these 66 books, yes, and they're given to us and we are trusting in them, in how they were put together. Yeah. And it's just God being this wonderful judge and lawgiver in giving us his law in the form that it's in, but also giving us his spirit in order for us to comply with his law. So he's there's a wise and gracious judge and lawgiver that we see in this book as well.
Yes. Yeah. Actually, you know, as you were saying that, I thought like we're actually spoiled.
We're very spoiled.
We have the written Bible, as you said, fully complete as it is, and we have the Holy Spirit on top of that.
Amen.
I mean, what more do we need?
Amen. We can only ask for him and the Holy Spirit at this point. But Pastor Wasim, I think let's wrap this up. And I'm really, really grateful for this chat. And you know, there are so many things that you revealed around just the function of a judge and the function of a lawgiver that I really didn't think about, that I'm so grateful for. I'm grateful to God that he showed them to you. So God bless you, brother. And thank you. Thank you so much for this time.
Thank you for having me again.
Yeah.
Looking forward to season 4.
God willing. God willing. God willing. And to everyone that was listening to us, thank you so much for joining us on day 7 of this wonderful, wonderful episode. Again, if you do have questions, if you want to comment, if you want to like, our social media pages, our YouTube page is open for you. So please feel free to like, to share. If you believe this is a blessing, man, make it a blessing to someone else by sharing it to them. And let's really, really begin to see Christ in all of Scripture and begin to appreciate how much he is everywhere and central to all of Scripture. So God bless you as you listen to this. We'll see you next episode.